Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. In our gospel lesson for today, it's a continuation of the lesson that we had from last week. If you remember, Jesus was there and he sent out all of the disciples, the 12 of them in pairs, sent them out to preach and to teach and to cure. And he said, look, go wherever you go and stay where you stay. And if they don't receive you, shake the dust off of your feet, but go and tell them about what God is up to in the world. And they did. They took off. They went to go find where God was sending them. And they worked and they found wherever they went, they were met by all kinds of people, all kinds of need. Then they return in our gospel for today in Mark 6. They gathered around Jesus and they told him all that they had done and taught. Now, if Jesus was a good CEO, Jesus would have said, well, that's all very nice. Now, let's double your quota. I mean, right? I mean, if you've anybody ever been in sales, the better you do, the better you have to do, right? It's true in any job. You do all of this work and you just do this amazing job and you put it all on your boss's desk. And she says, well, that's really great. Now, if you could do 30% more next week for the same pay, or maybe a little less, that would be even better. It is the way of the world to demand more of us. And the need always outweighs the supply. But when the disciples come back after their mission, and they gather around Jesus and they're excited and they tell him all that they have done, Jesus doesn't require more. Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For there were many who were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. I read an article by Dr. David Losey last week on this particular text, and it was a really good article that talked about the fact that as human beings, and especially as those of us who are in the United States, we are not good at Sabbath. And we are not good at rest. He quoted a recent poll in which he found that the average couple with children is working about 50 to 60 hours every week, and they never go outside. And I had to read that again. And of course, you know, you go outside, you get in your car, you maybe go outside to walk to Subway, but if you took a tour of their house, he says, they would show you all of this wonderful interior space, for sure would show you the home office, and then they would say, and there's our backyard, we never go there. We're terrible at Sabbath. Well, I wanted to focus on that particular part of the ministry of Jesus because I think it's something we need to hear these days. Now, of course, you listened to the text, and what did you find out in the text? Did Jesus and the disciples get their Sabbath? No. They didn't. In fact, what happens, they get ready to get in the boat, and people find out where they're going, and they get there before the disciples. And they lay out the sick on mats and straw mats, and they carry people in and say, look, here's some more work for you. And then even when they cross over the lake to the Gennesaret and they moor the boat, there are people waiting for them as well. But Jesus understands the need for Sabbath. And when you read the gospel lessons, you'll find again and again, it says, and Jesus went off to a desert place to pray by himself. Now, this is a hard sermon for me because as a pastor, part of my job is volunteer coordination. So, for instance, I'll pick on Carolyn. because it's her turn. As you know, Pastor Angela will be starting tomorrow in her new call here. Many of you may not know that. We've called an associate pastor, Pastor Angela Freeman, she was supposed to be here today. She's on Sabbath. She wrote me an email after all the plans that I'd made for a big reception and all this cool stuff that was going to happen. She wrote and said, and by the way, I'm not going to be there on Sunday. Have a nice Sabbath, Angela. And Carolyn, God bless her. She's the one who arranges for all the people who help in worship, especially at our 10:30 service during our regular season. We have tons of lay people who help with everything. And she says, now that Pastor Angela is going to be here, I don't have to find a second deacon, right? Wrong. Sometimes in the church, we're just so busy with things that we forget that this is a place of Sabbath, of Shabbat, of Shalom. We forget that our worship time together, our gathering as God's people, is not just another occasion to be busy for the sake of God. Although some of you do that, and God knows I do it. What we forget is that this time together, this morning of worship and song and fellowship, pretty good coffee, and I noticed some kind of strange pink cake. What is that anyway? Is it guava? It's good. And it's a gift. We've somehow along the line come to the idea that our time together in worship is an obligation, a holy obligation, certainly, but just one more thing we have to do for the sake of God, for the sake of what's right. But I think Jesus makes clear to the disciples that this is something we need and how we are made. That we need Sabbath and rest. Even God, for God's sake, took a rest on the seventh day. And did you listen to the psalm today? It's wonderful. It says, "And he makes me lie down in green pastures." It doesn't say, and he gives me the option and strong suggestion that perhaps I might want to lay down in a green pasture someday. God makes us lie down in green pastures and rest. Well, if the way we can begin to think of our lives and ministry is as a kind of extended Shabbat, as a kind of extended Sabbath, I think it changes our whole lives. I did a thing one year in my last congregation. I did prayer moments, and I did a little Bible study online that you could, when you, just before you went to lunch, you could tap it up on your computer, and you could do a Bible study in 2 minutes. And it was just rest. Now, Bill, our webmaster, has created a whole thing, and if you want to spend a half an hour or 2 hours in worship online, you can do that because the daily offices are there. Or you can go, if you're lazy like me, you can go to the 5-minute devotional. Right? But the point is that we need these moments of Sabbath in every day. That return to the touchstone of the Creator, the one who called you and called you God's own. There is our Sabbath. Not the rest of the stuff. As David Lowe said, we've given our time and ourselves to the things that do not give life. And the God who gives us life becomes the one that we spend time with when we have a little extra time. I don't know about you, but I never have a little extra time. Trade secret. Pastors are the worst at all of this, except for the Episcopalians, because they have built into their system retreats. Episcopalian priests are always on retreat. God bless them. They're so smart. So I want you to do as God says and not certainly as I do. Find Sabbath in your life. It begins in baptism, in the waters that were poured over your head when God called you God's own. It's God's gift that we can receive with joy. Now, Jesus and the disciples end up so busy and so crazy in this part of the gospel because it's at the beginning of their time together. But as you trace your way through Mark, you find more and more Sabbath. So go to the quiet place and receive the gift of that Holy Spirit called the Sabbath of God. There is where you will find not only God waiting, as God waits in every part of our life, but you may also find yourself and be filled with the joy and the energy and the spirit to truly be able to serve the world with joy. Amen.